Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Liquor Barn Studios, you're listening to The Diener Show on ESPN 680, 105.7, and 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Mark Blankenbaker and Jeff Lightsey Jr.
Welcome back to The Diener Show here on ESPN 680, 105.7, and 93.9 The Ville. We're at Jim Patterson Stadium. First pitch against NC State today at 6 o'clock. We'll go on the air at 5:50, and we're watching the mound man.
Yeah.
This guy is a mound terminator. Okay, this
guy's putting in work. He's been putting in work for a while on this mound.
He
too.
Is going to craft that thing like the Statue of David. You watch it. You're getting a firsthand look at this.
I am,
and I'm telling you, this is like. Like, there are awards, I'm sure, at U of L for, like, most diligent employees, like you know, staff assistants or, you know, groundskeepers and whatever. You know, best professor. This guy is the best at whatever you would call that job. Okay. He should get an award for it.
I mean, he's been going to work on this mound for, like, the better part of 30 minutes.
It is.
And it doesn't look like he's, like, halfway done. It
no.
looks like he's got a lot more time left
on. I mean, imagine if the rest of the infield was dirt.
That's what I'm saying.
His life would be ruined. His life would be absolutely ruined. He'd be like, yeah, like that. That's a great April Fool's joke. But like, you know, I know it was 4 days ago. But like, Dan McDonald walks in the office and tells this guy, you know, we're gonna go to all dirt field, and you're gonna have to, you know,
he's do like, this for all of it. Like, no,
I was gonna say,
he put in his papers. It's like, here's the pink slip. I give it to myself. Give myself the pink slip. My resignation letter right here because I'm out of here.
Oh,
if I got to do this for this entire infield, now that'd be crazy.
Man, that's so funny. But no, so the Final Four is this week. And, you know, it's you know, Keith's got Huntley Hatfield.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, I don't know. Like, there's something about losing Huntley Hatfield that kind of bothers me. He's the only player that really developed – into something where you're like, that guy can actually probably make a professional living playing basketball under Kenny Payne.
Mm.
And because that's true, I was like, well, it'd be nice to at least hang on to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but now he's going to go play for Keats. Now, happy he's playing for Keats.
Absolutely.
You know, love Keats, but I want to beat NC State.
Yeah.
You know, like on one hand, I'm happy for Keats. On the other hand, I want to beat NC State.
I was going to say, they got better. Like,
they got better
in – like you said, if there was anybody worth keeping, it was him. And you, because you saw his growth from his time at Tennessee to year one here to year two here. And it's like, oh, that's a totally different player. Like, from year one to year two here, that is a completely different player. And it would have been nice to see him be whatever he could be in year three of his Louisville time. Would have been here.
Yeah.
Instead, it's going to go to Kevin Keats. Now, yeah, like, you're happy it's for Keats, but at the same time, it's like, they got better, and we want to beat them. And, like, we want to be able to say, like, we're better than them, and it makes it a little easier to continue to fill this roster when you got 10 more spots you got to fill. And it's like, okay, it would have been nice to at least have that piece, but I'm interested to see where Kelsey goes with the rest of the roster. And I'm not afraid. And let me hear from you on this, Mark. Are you scared of having too many mid-major players? Meaning, like, having, you know, you got your guys from James Madison, you got your two from College of Charleston, or you're looking at a guy from Toledo, you're looking at, you know, a couple of guys from FAU. Like, does that scare you at all? Does that scare Mark Blankenbaker?
No, I mean, I think I want to mix.
Yeah.
You know, I think I understand, like, what happens is that you get Damian Lee out of Drexel.
Yeah.
You know, you get Carlick Jones out of Radford.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are players everywhere. And if they're older players, there's misallocated players all over football, basketball, baseball, everything. Mm-hmm. You know, there's always a dude at, like, Grand Canyon or whatever. I mean, Kentucky just got put out by a low major player.
Yeah.
You know, what was the guy's name?
Goki.
Yeah,
he came from D2. And then Trey Edwards was on that team, too. Yeah. Out of Oakland, yeah.
So, and I think part of it is, can they guard? You know, a lot of times guys can score.
Yeah.
Can they guard? You know, that's sort of the unknown as we start building out these rosters. You know, if they can score, if they have a piece, they have a skill, or they a shooter, but can they guard?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that's what really separates like the really, really great players from like the okay average guys that might even not even be able to fit here.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they can't stay in front of the guards that we have in the ACC, then there's no reason. Yeah, okay. I mean, Trey White's the Pac-12 Freshman of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
He can score all day.
Yeah,
but
he was a cone on defense.
You do me no good if you score 16 and give up 30.
Yeah,
you know, and so I like his offensive game. And
sometimes, not sometimes.
Well, sometimes. But it was reliable enough. He just couldn't guard anybody, or wouldn't guard anybody.
That was another thing too, effort. Because I think he probably – I mean, he's athletic enough to guard people.
Yeah.
But it wasn't required of him.
No.
Like, it just wasn't. Like, that
was – if I was advising Trey White, I would say, you need to go to a place that's going to demand defense out of you.
Yeah.
Because you're going nowhere as a professional basketball player if you won't guard somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so you need to do that. And I think maybe he's taken an easy path on that, and it's hurt him.
Yeah.
You know, it's how I feel about Jimmy Callaway. Like we were talking about football.
Mm-hmm.
Not to turn this into a football thing, but like if I was advising Jimmy Callaway, like, you're open. You run great out routes.
He's a nice size too.
Great
big,
size.
Yeah, big kid.
You look the part.
Mm-hmm.
Catch the ball.
Yeah.
Do you want if that ball is your NFL career?
Yeah, it's $1 million in the air every time.
$1 million in the air. You catch it, you are rich.
You secure it.
You are where you are now. You're going to go – you're going to be a professional in something other than sports.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So what do you want?
Mm-hmm.
Catching the ball is important. So, and for Trey White, it's staying in front of your guy is that important. Like, you can be a player in the G League. You could be maybe an NBA player. I don't know. But, like, you're not going to do any of that if you can't stay in front of somebody.
Yeah, absolutely. So, no. So, yeah, I think it's – you definitely have to have a mix. You can't go all 13 players in your roster coming from mid-majors.
No.
It's not to say that you can't have success with mid-major guys. We're watching Alabama do it. I mean, three of their five starters, Hofstra, South Dakota State,
right,
and Ohio. You know what I mean? Like, that's three of their five starters.
Good players everywhere.
In the Final Four. You know what I'm saying? Right now. So, like, that's not to say that you can't do it. At the same time, there are guys that you have to mix that in there that have that Power 5 experience, whether they're coming from the Big Ten, SEC, Pac-12,
I think
whatever.
We will.
Yeah. And so, what do you think there's any chance that, you know, especially with this coaching carousel and guys getting let out of their NLI, there'll be any high school players on this year's roster?
I think there might be one or two.
Okay.
And I'm curious to see where they come from.
Mm.
Because I just, you know, it's the pool's going to be limited.
Yeah.
So when they shake out like that, you want to make sure it's quality because it is a freshman.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to take a freshman if he's not like a really solid player or has like a body type that might grow into I'm okay taking a project if out of the high school ranks if he's like 7 foot tall.
You know
what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to take a 5'10", you know, guard that's like 200th ranked out of high school just to take a player.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd much rather go get a junior player that is a solid basketball player that might be able to contribute if somebody gets in the foul trouble.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it depends. And so, like, I think we're going to end up with, like, Big Ten players, SEC players. I think we'll end up with a handful of guys, maybe out of the A-10,
mm-hmm,
which isn't mid-major. It's still high. It's good basketball.
Dayton's good basketball.
Yeah, so, I think they'll come from a lot of different places. And you know, you got to trust your coach, Pat Kelsey, and how he operates and how he builds his team. And you also have to keep in mind that it's not all stat driven. You know, you need sometimes you need a Quan Four, a dude that can just guard.
Yeah.
They, you know, he can score any at all. But Duke could guard.
Yeah, he could stay in front of people.
Yeah, he could get the ball. He couldn't get the ball up the floor against Duke.
Nobody could.
Nobody could.
Oh, my goodness.
That was unbelievable.
My goodness. Watching that game, that game still haunts my dreams. Like,
yeah, you know. What are some of the games? So that's something I want to work on this summer with Sapporo on the ESPN Plus account. The games that haunt us. That's one.
That's one. Football, the Jameis Winston game where we wore the gray jerseys.
Oh, my God.
Over here.
We dropped like a million interceptions.
Just like,
you know the touchdown that where it was like two of our defenders like hit one another trying to hit the Jameis Winston interception? You know the ball that squirted through and got through that, that's Florida State receiver's only touchdown ever in his career.
I'm not surprised.
And it should have been picked.
Exactly.
If the other defender doesn't break on the ball, either guy intercepts it.
Yes.
It's the one of the worst balls you've ever seen in your life.
That game haunts me. The game on the road against running back from Boston College, he plays for Green Bay now.
A.J. Dillon.
When
going
he's
to
just
Chucky
tossing
Williams.
Chucky Williams to the side.
We haven't seen Chucky Williams. Has anybody checked to see if he's still in orbit?
He may be, because he tossed his corpse to the sideline as he kept running. He had almost 300 yards rushing that day.
Yeah.
That haunts me. I could do this all
Lamar,
day.
Hey, Lamar versus Clemson.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
We're here at Jim Patterson Stadium. Cal State Fullerton, UC Santa Barbara, both those.
Grand Slam walk-off. I was here interning with Wave 3. Yes. Kendrick Haskins. Me and Kendrick, and I remember we were behind.
Stunning.
We were behind. That was the Cal State Fullerton, I think. We were behind there. We were shooting from behind their dugout where their pitching, where their pitchers were warming up. And, you know, they're warming up because it looks like it's about to go into extra innings, right? So, like, they're warming up, and boom, you hear it off the bat. It's like, whoa, hold on. And the bases were loaded. So you're like, no way this is about to go out. It goes out. I just never forget them going, we're going to the effing world. They couldn't believe it. We're going to the effing World
and
Series.
And it was the only lefty left.
Oh, my God.
That they had. And then the guy, it was like, it's the same type of thing as the Florida State game. What about 2005 Louisville, West Virginia, where we invented Pat White, Steve Slayton?
Oh, my. Yeah, we unleashed by knocking their quarterback out.
Yeah, but Brandon Johnson gets a personal foul, you know, knocks this guy out of the game, and invents Pat White. No.
And he haunted us for years that. He haunted us for years.
We got him the next year, though.
Oh, my
God. Got him the next year.
We did.
But that hurt. I mean, so that's something I want to work on with Sapporo, because I think it's a really cool concept. The losses that haunt us.
Yeah.
And the things that kind of go into it behind the scenes.
Sweet 16, 2014.
Oh, God, yeah.
Against
that's probably
Kentucky.
The worst basketball loss I can ever remember.
Oh, that hurt.
Yeah.
I thought we were going back-to-back. We had the team. We had players. I just knew we were going back-to-back. Obviously, they put us in the bracket with Kentucky, and you run into Julius Randle and them in the second round.
Julius Randle that could walk and foul everybody, but then you could call for it the whole tournament. He's Fred Flintstone to the title game.
Oh, my goodness.
I think it's pretty fun to think about the games that kind of, you know, drive you nuts. I mean, obviously, you could talk about the Dingadel walk. You know, travel along the baseline.
On the baseline. Just sit still. Just sit still. Dang. Oh, my goodness.
There's a million of them. But we'll probably work on some stuff like that and just think about that. So it's going to be fun. A fun summer, I think. Like the Morehead State one in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah. We invented Kennifer Reed that day, I felt like.
Yeah, well, he was invented.
Yeah, he really, like, the tournament is where you make your name. And he made his name, and the tournament's like, whoa.
The thing that hurt the most about that was it was about a month prior where we didn't get in the Big 12.
We
thought we were done.
Yeah.
Like, as a whole program.
Yeah.
Like, it was just like the hope we had football. I think football was probably still struggling at the time. I can't remember if we were still under Craig Thorpe or not. But, like, we'd lost our chance at football to be in the Big 12. We were sitting right there. PK broke his foot in the game. We get put out. It's the first game of the tournament. And it was just – it felt like a deflated moment for Louisville Athletics. And, you know, we were okay. Mm-hmm. 4 years later, we had the year of the Cardinal.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's just a reminder that when you feel like all is lost, like we've been in this basketball era, like for the last really 3 years, where nothing's really been going right for, you know, we're 13 and whatever, 13 wins, 4 wins, 8 wins. Like, that's a terrible run for our basketball program.
25 wins in 3 years, buddy. That's crazy. Just for just, I mean, even though it's a lower level, College of Charleston won 27 games this year.
I know.
We've won 25 games.
That's why this is going to be fun.
Yeah.
With Pat Kelsey. Like, I was telling people, like, I don't know if we're going to win a title under Pat Kelsey. Like, I hope we do.
Absolutely.
But I know we're going to have fun.
That's, yes.
You know?
No,
and,
yeah.
And so, can Pat Kelsey be our Denny Crum, or could he be our John L. Smith? You know? Mm-hmm. Like, John L. restored us coming out of the Ron Cooper era.
Yeah.
Denny Crum took us to heights unknown. Mm-hmm. I think it's one or the other.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like we're, at the very least, going to be restored. And if Pat Kelsey, if we get to a place where we're just like, hey, this guy's not going to, he's not going to get us to a Final Four. He's not going to win a championship, but we love him. And but you know, we need to go get a championship level coach. That could happen.
Yeah,
but it could also be that he could be
a superstar,
the dude.
No, yeah, he can be the because somebody has to be. You know, the old guard has kind of moved out of college basketball. The Jay Wrights, the Roy Williams, Coach K's, like that old guard is kind of gone. The only one kind of hanging on, Jim Boeheim. The only one kind of hanging around is Rick. You know what I mean?
Like he's
Bill Self, but even he looks like he's on the back half. He's had some health things,
right.
And you know he's pushing 70. Like. So
Calipari's let it go.
Exactly. And Calipari's not looked upon as those guys anyway.
He's looked up as a recruiter.
Exactly.
He's got the coaching stump.
Exactly. So there has to be a new way. Like, there's got to be new stars in the coach. Dan Hurley looking like he's becoming one. Like
the power vacuum is going to get filled.
Exactly. And so it's not normally just one guy. Well, it's never just one. So it has to be a couple of guys who are going – like Dan Hurley looks like he's got a spot locked up. Who is going to be the next wave of guys? And can Pat Kelsey establish himself at this level to be one of those guys? That's what – and like I said, just winning the offseason has been amazing. Yeah. Like he's literally checked every box so far – through the offseason, when it comes to fan engagement, when it comes to getting people back excited and getting ready for basketball. Like, we're talking basketball in April. We weren't talking basketball in April last year or the year before. Like we weren't. I mean, we just weren't. You had tweets going viral talking about, like, basketball for the opposite reasons, right? Like, so, like, this is what makes it fun, man. And the fact that he's so accessible, right? The fact that fans can hop on a Twitter Spaces with Drew Diener and see Pat Kelsey.
Isn't that amazing?
I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's nuts. Like, it was so – this is how you know it was great. Matt Jones, who, hates everything Louisville, even had to admit, like, you know, Louisville's got their coach in the Spaces, and it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm not going to lie. It's kind of cool, and they can't even get Cal and KSR.
Matt's so fragile. it's kind of funny to watch because, you know, Drew gets the football and basketball coach on a space, and he's like, "Oh, that's cute." Was it like 1,500?
13, yeah, it was like the screenshot. Had 1,300.
I can get Billy Bob or whatever on there and get 10,000. I'm like, yeah, dude. You know, Drew killed his Twitter account like because he just didn't trust himself on Twitter, and he's got 4,000 followers right now.
And you got 100,000.
Yeah,
got 100,000.
Yeah, like, omit that whole thing. And by the way, John Calipari won't freaking come on your show.
Won't even be your radio show.
No,
won't even come on your radio.
No, but he would go on with this one, Pratt, and it would tick him off. Like we'd hear about it. It's just like fragility is funny, but it's one of those deals. So, but no, man, I think if we get a bunch of mid-majors, I don't think that's what we'll end up with, like in terms of our roster construction. But the mid-majors that we've gotten so far, I'm pretty excited about.
Yeah.
A great three-point shooter, a great shot blocker, and a guy that can score from anywhere on the floor.
Yeah,
that can create his own shot. I do think we need a point guard if we get Maddox. I think we're in great shape there.
He's a 40% shooter from three too.
I know.
Like, I mean, he's and Rain Smith. There's articles in the Athletic right now that said he is going to be one of the best shooters in college basketball next year.
Right.
He's one of the best shooters in college basketball. Most people just don't know.
Can he guard?
Yeah. Now that,
you know in the ACC level,
that's going to be. Yeah.
I don't know.
We don't know.
So he could be a sixth or seventh man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because of that. Like, he could be, he could be like a Ryan McMahon-level dude that you got to kind of cover up for defensively.
Yeah.
You know, but
that's why you bring in the shot blockers.
That's why you do
that. Like, you bring in the shot blockers because, like, in case your guys get beat off the dribble, you have a rim protector. You have somebody in the back line of your defense that's able to help you out there. But if you can hit five threes in a game, you know, that's consistently, not say every game, but there, you can have games where you're hitting four threes, five threes, six threes, you know, three threes, whatever. Something that we haven't seen, man. We haven't seen that in a little bit. Like, we haven't had that consistent knockdown shooter on this roster in the last couple of years. That's going to matter. Like, that's going to help a ton.
Well, the three-point disparity that we experienced is terrible. Like, our three-point defense was just abysmal.
Yeah.
We didn't know what a closeout was, and we weren't a good three-point shooting team either. Mm-mm. So the disparity was wild. And in modern college basketball, like, how many games are you winning if you're – Yeah, we got fouled a bunch. We went to the free throw line a lot.
Get fouled offense.
That's what it is.
You coined that, and I just thought that was the funniest. I would hear you on the radio say, "Yeah, man, we just run the get fouled offense." And I'm just like, "Yo, that is hilarious."
But I don't lie. I don't want to run an offense that depends on somebody else blowing the whistle.
Absolutely.
I just don't. I want to get fouled. I want to get and ones
but
and stuff
within
like that.
The flow of the game.
But within the flow of the game. And I also want to be able to make shots, because ultimately, how many times do you get down, watch these tournament games where somebody's got to make a bucket.
Yes.
You know, to tie, to pull ahead, to close, to stop a run. You got to be able to have a dude that can just, you know, Francisco Garcia, taking that. Boom.
Russ Smith.
Done.
I mean, like, okay, we need a shot right now.
Right.
Give me the ball. You know what I mean? And I think Terrence Edwards is going to be that guy for us.
I think so,
I think he's going to be that guy, like, hey, you know, we're in a drought. It's a 6-0 run, 8-0 run for the other team. Give me the ball. Let me make something happen. Let me make a play. Let me get us on the board. Let me, you know, end this scoring drought that we're in. And that is, or Rain Smith hitting a three. Like, I mean, the Athletic wrote a piece saying Rain Smith could have went pro in NBL. Like, he's that talented.
Wow.
He's looked upon. Like, they were honestly surprised he decided to come back to college. But the fact that he got a chance to play at Louisville is kind of what, like, spurned him from going over the NBL, because he's an Australian kid. And he wants to be able to prove himself at this level that he's able to, you know, make money playing professional basketball. That's exciting to me, man.
And so,
exciting.
So Pat, you're on the clock. Enjoy Phoenix. I assume he's in Phoenix.
Yeah.
I assume he's in Phoenix. Enjoy Phoenix. When you get back, I need players.
Yeah.
All right? Because it's your first 100 days, and you don't even have that to Memorial Day. Mm. So when we get to Memorial Day, I want to see a roster. Mm. All right? Now, if we have 11 of 13, we got two spots left, but we kind of have a good plan. I can hold out, but I want to have, you know, but by Memorial Day, everybody's going to be pretty much set. Mm. There's not going to be that many players left out of the portal. You're going to be hunting for scraps or holdouts, you know, or something like that. You might have a reclass guy around that time, which is always worth waiting on if you can find
a good one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it doesn't have to be totally complete by Memorial Day, but it needs to be. It will be mostly complete. And then I think we judge it. You know, did we get a couple guys out of the ACC, A-10, mm-hmm. Big East, SEC?
I think some international guys, too. I think
Watch out for that.
He has an international, like, coach on his bench. And that is one thing. I mean, I'm talking about Rain Smith. He's from Australia. Like, he's Pat is a guy that is not going to leave any rock unturned when it comes to recruiting. And I think it's going to be interesting to see, you know, Louisville get back into the international mix.
Yeah.
You know, Rick was a big international guy. Whether it's Anas Mahmood, you know, these guys, like, even though they played domestically, they were from Egypt.
Let's not Matt Stockman.
Yeah, we could leave that.
I don't need Matt. Or Aidan Gahan.
Yeah.
Oh, no, man. Yeah, Chris Mack went to Ireland for Aidan Gahan.
And the Irish Hulk, and we all thought he was going to be, like, amazing.
Well, he looked great.
No, he had to be, like, but he probably should have been a defensive end instead of a basketball player.
You're not
wrong. He probably could have worked a lot better.
I'd like to see him at tight end.
Yeah.
But
basketball clearly wasn't his thing, because even when he left here, he wasn't.
You know how many times I've, like, over the years watched, like, you know, we'd play like a MAC team, mm-hmm. team that came in from like Toledo or Akron or something to the Yum Center, and their big dude is like 6'8", 270, 280 pounds, and I'm like, why is he playing basketball?
Mm.
You're a MAC player. You're in the Mid-American Conference. You'd probably be in the Big Ten or the SEC if you just played football.
Yeah, if you were a left tackle or
Something like that, defensive end or something like that. Like, why are you doing this to yourself? Like, and I guess they just love ball.
Well, the thing is, like, is that the NFL is so crazy. Like, if you're athletic enough and talented enough, you can play 4 or 5 years of college basketball, never do a snap, and make it to the NFL. I watched that happen with George Fant.
Yeah.
Like, I went to Western.
Where's he now?
He's with he's back with Seattle.
He's back with
he's
Seattle
back
now?
He's back with Seattle, oh, yeah, wow. As a right tackle. Like, so George never played football. He played 4 years of basketball, yeah. 4 year starter at WKU.
Isn't that amazing?
Tried to play football for 1 year. Was awful. He was awful. Like, he tried to play but the thing is, he tried to play tight end. And so he never sees the field, whatever. Pro day comes around. So the season's over. Pro day comes around. George went from 250 to 300 pounds.
Yeah, just got big.
And worked out as a tackle instead of a tight end.
Right.
Ends up making a roster. Now has been in the league for 6-7 years.
I've said from the beginning, Sidney Curry needs to do that.
It would be
and you know what? Like he doesn't have a future in basketball, but he even has those hands.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't seen George's hands. I'm sure they're huge.
Yeah, and, you know, no, he's a big dude.
He's got those hands that you just need for football, and Sidney Curry has those hands. Yeah. And I'm just looking at him like, why are we doing this?
Yeah,
I mean, go play for Jeff Brom. You know, go out there. I want you to make as much money as possible.
Absolutely, and it's there. It's there. I mean, all those tweener type of guys.
Yeah.
Like, as George is only about 6'6", but he played center. You know what I mean? He played center for Western. He was a good center, but he was never going to make the NBA.
Nah.
Like, not a 6'6" center, but what you can make is millions of dollars being a right tackle. Yeah. You know what I mean? You can make millions of dollars. Like, George has had 3 contracts. Like, he's
made money.
Yes, like, he's
look up his spot rack real
some,
quick.
And did some great things as a right tackle in the NFL. Literally, he's made the 5 years. He's got the pension. He's good to go. Like, I mean, all you need is 5 years. You get the pension. George has got that. So, shout out to George Fant, man.
Good for him.
His family's awesome.
7 years.
Seven.
Played.
It's what I'm saying.
$36.5 million earned already. And he's under contract for another 2 years, $9.1 million.
Not bad.
So right now, he's set to make $45 million bucks in his career.
It's not bad.
He's already made 36. Doesn't suck. Doesn't suck.
He wasn't going to do that playing basketball.
And Maven's son, Jalen Reeves Maven. I mean, just talk about the story there, man. He's the, you know, he's a Pro Bowler. He got the biggest contract ever for a special teams guy, and now he's the Players Association
president. That's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome. Just got that nice contract from the Detroit Lions.
Freaking Charlie Strong, man.
I couldn't seal the deal.
Doing, Charlie?
Couldn't seal the deal.
What are you doing, Charlie?
He got us some good players, though.
Yeah,
I
think Charlie did fine.
He did all right. He did all right.
Well, Preston Brown, Keith Kelsey. Yeah. You know, oh, my gosh. You know, and we'll continue to talk about all this on the other side because we're over break, and I don't want to have a 5 minute
segment,
you know, to end the show. So we'll continue along. You know, go see our friends over there at Goomer & Company. They've been in the business since 1971, custom creating jewelry for you. They have stuff in the case. They can work on watches. If you have coins, if you have old jewelry in your house, what I would do is take it to Jake Goomer and say, hey, what can I do with this? Because you've got gems and gold and stuff like that. If you're not wearing it, it's worth something. He'll buy it from him, or he'll create something else that you actually will wear over there at Goomer & Company. And I got Ashley's engagement ring, her bridal set, custom gray bracelets, earrings, necklaces, all sorts of stuff. And it's incredible how many people tell Jake, hey, yeah, listen to the Diener Show. And, you know, Blankenbaker and Diener sent me in there. And, yeah, continue to do that because it helps us out a lot. But they'll take great care of you over there no matter who you are. So go see them over there. Jeff Leitze Jr., Mark Blankenbaker. We're here at Jim Patterson Stadium for Louisville versus NC State. First pitch at 6:00. Our coverage will be at 5:50 on 93.9 The Ville, and we'll continue to roll along next after this.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
I said, girls, I ain't as good as I once was. I got a few years on me now. But there was a time back in my prime.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Liquor Barn Studios, you're listening to The Diener Show on ESPN 680, 105.7, and 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Mark Blankenbaker and Jeff Lightsey Jr.
Welcome back to The Diener Show here on ESPN 680, 105.7, and 93.9 The Ville, where the world's most perfect mound is almost complete.
We think. Because I thought he was close last time, and he's still going 30 minutes later.
Like, imagine this guy's house.
I'd hope it's immaculate.
It's probably immaculate. Like the first pitch will be here at 6 o'clock, and that's when a college kid's going to take his cleats and rip that thing apart, and this man's soul is going to die. You know? Like, this guy has worked on this amazingly. So we'll send you to the weekend with a little legal talk, okay? So the ACC yesterday won in court that the multiple lawsuits that they've started against Clemson and Florida State, and that Clemson and Florida State have started against them, that they should be held in North Carolina. Because the ACC thinks everything needs to be held in North Carolina. So, that was at least decided yesterday, and what's going to be an extremely long process. And the whole landscape is going to change. This is from the lawsuit. Okay, just I want to read you this part. This is from Florida State's side. The FSU board contention is that the entire ACC enterprise has failed, particularly to its constitutionally committed to purposes, as well as the fact that the captains who guided it have run the enterprise aground, plagued by conflicts of interest, motives of self-perpetuation, and the abject abandonment of their preeminent responsibility to serve members first. Those commissioners have skippered the enterprise to its existential brink. And some of this, I think, they're unhappy about the television contract. That's really what it is. But some of what they're talking about, or at least hinting at to me, is the fact that they sold the championships, 40 of them, to the state of North Carolina for tax credits. You know, it's $40 million with the tax credits, right? Yeah. And everybody wants more money. But I don't think anybody really ever wanted to sell competitive advantage away in favor of your Carolina schools for money. That's like crazy. Like there are certain things that money shouldn't be sold for. Mm. If today they were like, you know, we're going to move for $1 million, Louisville's going to move first base while they're on defense further back. For $1 million.
Yeah.
No. What are you talking about? You can't do that. That's basically what they did.
Yeah.
You know, they gave home field advantage for 40 championships.
That's crazy. Now, that's insane.
For tax credits.
And that's insane because especially now that the league's expanding, I mean, you're talking about teams from California and in Texas Dallas. Having to go all the way to North Carolina.
Right. We have 18 now. So 18 plus Notre Dame?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Okay. Yeah. And so, like for example, like why isn't that an ACC championship game couldn't be held in Louisville? Or a conference tournament be held in ACC championship?
Boston, Miami.
I mean, anywhere.
San Francisco.
Like, we got a lot of good cities. Like, a lot of good cities that are in the vicinity of or Dallas or whatever. You know,
Pittsburgh.
Are in the vicinity of the ACC schools that are a lot better than Greensboro. I know you rip on Charlotte a lot. Well, even though Charlotte is better than you make it seem, Mark. Like, Charlotte is not a bad city. Like, it's actually
Greensboro sucks.
Yeah, Greensboro's terrible.
Greensboro sucks.
That shouldn't be
and
a place.
Charlotte gets grouped in with Greensboro because I just am tired of going to North Carolina
Which is
for everything.
Yeah.
It's like ACC kickoff, ACC tip-off. Hey, let's go to the ACC championship. Let's go to the basketball thing. Everything's in Carolina. I'm like, no, it's a big league. It doesn't all have to be Carolina. But, you know, Charlotte – I'm sorry. Charlotte is the city in the Matrix.
What does that mean? What does that even mean?
Okay, you know, like nothing ever looked like an actual place. Like you turn on like a movie, and you see a skyline.
Yeah.
A lot of times I can be like, oh, that's Boston.
Yeah.
That's New York. That's San Francisco. Mm-hmm. That's L.A.
Chicago.
That's Dallas. If you put the skyline of Charlotte, you'd think it was like a generic AI-made town. It has no character at all. to it. There's nothing there. Like, you put up the skyline of Nashville, Cincinnati, Louisville. They all have – you put up – Charlotte's like nothing.
I've never seen a Charlotte – I've never, like, looked at the Charlotte skyline.
No, you've seen it before.
Yeah, probably.
You've seen it. You just didn't know it was Charlotte.
Yeah,
you had no idea.
And that's why I'm not debating – I'm just saying Charlotte, the city, isn't that bad. Now, the skyline, maybe –
It's better than Greensboro.
Yeah, it's definitely not Greensboro.
Low bar.
But the fact Charlotte is definitely a lot better than Greensboro. But at the same time, like you said, selling your championships to a state and to not think that the rest of the schools in the league don't think that the schools in that state have a competitive advantage.
Right.
Come on, man. Like, who are you kidding? Who are you kidding? No, like, you're not fooling us.
And also, like, the idea that, you know, our football championship game is the only one not played in the dome. Like, we got lucky this year with some really nice weather. It rained a little bit at like halftime, but it wasn't bad. It was nice and warm. But they've had some cold years.
That's a good point.
In the ACC championship game, and that's going to determine, in a lot of years, who goes to the playoff from your league.
Absolutely.
And so you want that to be played in weather?
Yeah.
Ice storm, maybe? Like, super cold?
Especially when, like you said, no one else does.
Nobody else does.
Whether it's at Lucas Oil or down in Atlanta or whatever. Like, those are all domes. And it's not like you don't have those options.
Right.
Like, you don't think in Atlanta or wherever you want to host, your Lucas Oil, whatever, wouldn't want to host the ACC championship game?
Totally.
Like, you don't think they'd want to host that?
I mean, come on, what are you talking about? I mean, you could play it Friday night.
Yeah.
Like, and draw a big number.
A huge
And then let
number.
The SEC come in on Saturday. Now, the Atlanta hotels probably wouldn't want that. You know what I mean? Because they're going to be full, and they would rather sell out, you know, twice.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but what's wrong with Nashville? They're building a dome.
Yeah.
Put that to plans. Or put it in Tampa.
Yeah.
Or Orlando. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, do a deal so that you get the Citrus Bowl. Like, that's what I would do. Like, I would say, okay, Orlando, you know, we want the Citrus Bowl. And in order to do it, we want to – so it's not Big Ten SEC anymore. You give us the Citrus Bowl, we'll put the ACC championship in your stadium.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Leverage it that way. Because who gives a crap about the Belk Bowl or the Duke's Mayo Bowl? Mm-mm. It means nothing.
I mean, and it means nothing now, and it's really going to mean nothing now that these playoffs continue to expand.
Right.
You know, now there's your 12 teams, you'll be at 14 teams before you can blink. You know what I mean? Like, it really means, and all, like, yeah, like, to have it in a cold weather city or a city that can be cold weather without a dome for a championship game that can determine a playoff spot, or even if it's not just the spot, the seeding. Yeah. Right? Like, that's going to matter. The seeding's going to matter moving forward. And to have, like, weather be a factor when no one else has that.
Nobody else has it. No one else had that. That's something I never thought about.
Yeah.
We got to play it in Charlotte. We got to go back to Charlotte, man. I'm telling you what, man, I'm wearing out my American Airlines credit card. I'll go back to Charlotte. Fine. But you know what? If Jeff Brohm keeps sending me there, maybe I'll have a good experience in Charlotte one day.
Man, yeah, I gotta take some spots in Charlotte, man. My aunt and my aunt and uncle, my family lives there in Charlotte. It's a fun town. I don't know why you hate on Charlotte so much. It is actually fun.
They have
it's not Greensboro, Mark. It is actually a fun place to go.
It's Carolina. It's just Carolina.
Yeah, it is that.
I'm just going back to Carolina. Here I am.
Much rather be in, like, Dallas, switch it up, Florida, Texas.
Mix it up. I just want to mix it up.
Yeah.
That's all I want to do.
Especially when, like, the Big 12 or whoever, they're having, like, their media days in, like, Vegas or something.
They moved them to Vegas.
You know, they're moving. It's like, that's awesome.
That's perfect.
You know what I mean? Like, Vegas in the summer? Like, you get to go to Vegas during a – now, it'd be hot as hell, but it's going to be
fun. I'd have an ACC championship in Las Vegas. I'd have it in San Francisco.
I mean, people would go.
I mean, hell.
They'd go.
Are you kidding me?
You don't think people would mark
ACC
their calendars?
ACC championship in Las Vegas? Are you kidding me? We're there right now. Like, because the Pac-12's gone.
Yes.
So they're giving up that spot.
It is.
And then the Mountain West plays it theirs in Vegas as well. I mean, and it's so much fun when you're in a town with multiple championships going on. Like, when we play in New York, like in the Barclays Center, and you're, like, in the Barclays Center, and then you could go to Madison Square Garden for, like, the Big East tournament. It's awesome.
Because
you have options. And, like, you could go, you know, and then they had one over in Newark. One year it was like there was three happening.
Oh, wow.
One in Newark, one in MSG, and one in the Barclay.
Wow.
And it was like you could go to three. I think it was the A-10. That feels right. I might be wrong, but like it was cool because the A-10 played in Barclay Center this past year. So a lot of fun.
Yeah.
This was fun,
sounds
Jeff.
Like it always, man.
Appreciate it, buddy.
We'll have you on again.
I got the eclipse Monday. I might have to do the show from home. There'll be a lot of traffic in Santa Claus.
Yeah, I bet.
Because apparently, like, everybody and their mom's coming to Santa Claus, Indiana for the eclipse. I'm like, y'all go to Bloomington. Y'all go.
You're going to come here.
You don't have to come here. All right, Chase, thank you so much. Thanks to Addison for letting us in this morning for Louisville baseball. Louisville versus North Carolina State at 6 o'clock first pitch here from Jim Patterson Stadium. Thanks to Dan McDonald. Thanks to Jeff Leitze for coming in on an early Friday morning. Diener should be back. Maybe he'll be in Phoenix. I don't know. We'll find out.